Hallelujah.
Once sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadow. And
is the confidence that gathers us here, knowing that you have the power to make a beggar to sit with a king. You turned a prisoner to a prime minister. You changed the story of Jabez. He became an honorable man. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. One man was 38 years old with his problem. But when you came, his situation changed. Another woman had 12 years of her problem. But when you came, her situation changed. Blind Bartimaeus cried for your mercy. You restored his sight. The leprous, 10 of them, outcasts, rejected, put in a silent isolator. But when they met you, their situation changed. Lord of your children here today are under the same situation. The enemy wants to make it look as if we are serving you in vain. Oh God of creation that answers prayers, situation changer that you are, come and step into the affairs of our families in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing could stop us from gathering here. Let nothing stop our testimonies. You are the mighty one in battle. You are the mighty one in battle. Jehovah, you are the mighty come into your presence. Ridicule us. Oh God, let the whole world know that we are serving the living God. Do something that we close the mouth of the enemies of our families because of here. We are here in the name of Jesus Christ. You sought for a man that will stand in the gap and make an edge. We have come to stand in the gap of our families. Lord, have mercy upon our unbelieving family members. Lord, have mercy, have mercy. You are a merciful God. Because of us. Because we are carriers of light. Let darkness disappear from our families. Something, Holy Ghost, that the people we know, we are not serving you in vain. Let our testimony be different after today in the name of Jesus Christ. Send down your angels. Send down your spirit. Send down your grace. As we hand over the service to you again tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church will say, can you use your hand and worship the Lord with your hands? Amen. Before you sit down, please carry your Bibles and open Jeremiah chapter 13. Let's read that before we sit down, please. Very important. Jeremiah chapter 13 and hallelujah. Amen. From verse 1. He said, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it in on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates. Euphrates is a river. And take the girdle from thence which I commanded it to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was mad. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus said the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, said the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they will not hear. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of the word. God bless you. Be seated. There's a reason I read this scripture. Because there are two groups of people that serve God according to the scripture. When Jesus Christ says that God is looking for worshippers, he said worshippers that will worship him where? In Brand Assembly, in Redeem. In where? Choosing. Where? Where is God's choosing place of worship? Where will you worship him? Where? In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen carefully. In spirit and in truth. It simply means there are people that can worship him in the flesh and in error. Am I correct? I mean, it can be inferred like that. And for those, there are people also that worship God intellectually. Now, intellectuals, intellectualism is the wisdom of the world. And God has rubbished the wisdom of the world. Hallelujah. By what the world calls foolish. The wise of this world call the things of God foolish. But God's foolishness, amen, he has used his foolishness to rubbish the wisdom of this world. Amen. Listen, church. I am saying, I want to emphasize this, explain this. Because watching me now are people who believe that they are Bible-based Christians. Bible-based Christians. And the other group are followers of the ministry of William Branham, who will not do anything that William Branham did not do. Listen, church. William Branham is not our standard. It's not our absolute. They will hate me for this now. William Branham is not my savior. William Branham is not my God. Those who are led by William Branham are the sons of God. Who is my leader? It's the Holy Ghost. Those who are led by the Spirit. That's why we must worship God in the Spirit. Now listen, church. We have this Bible as a guide. And this Bible is to judge everything we do in the name of the Lord as Christians. So, anything you do that is contrary to this Bible, listen to me. If it is contrary to this Bible, you drop it. Hear my English. That is what is the restoration ministry. To restore us back to the Bible-based Christianity. That is what the entire message is all about. That is what God sent William Branham to tell Christians in this age. Come back to the Bible. Because there were a lot of things going on in the denominational churches that were contrary to the Bible. When I say contrary, that is the Bible spoke expressly against it. Anything the Bible is against, you don't do it. But listen, it's not everything. Listen, there is the written word of God and there is the spoken word of God. The Holy Ghost is still talking. Somebody, hallelujah. If you don't understand the move of God, my brethren from Deeper Life, I'm sorry to call name of church. Amen.
Amen.
I love that church because at least they are very careful to make sure they don't do anything contrary to the Bible. That's one thing I love that church. They have respect to this Bible. Amen. You will never hear Deeper Life tell you any scripture doesn't matter. Amen. Because they have respect for the word of God. But I know churches that the Bible said this and the GO will say, nah, nah, nah. It doesn't matter. But why I call Deeper Life, hallelujah, that not only Deeper Life, there are some churches that don't believe in deliverance. They don't believe in deliverance. There are some churches that if you go there and somebody falls under anointing, they will say you are possessed by a demon. There is one church, I cannot call name this time. Amen. There is a church near us that say because we use padlock, we use mirror, we use all these things to pray, that it is occultic. You are blind. It's because you don't know anything about spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, we have to worship God by faith. He said, what is this thing padlock and mirror for? And I say, we have to worship God by faith. Then, why is there anointing oil in the Bible? Why did James say, if somebody is sick, pray, call for elders to pray and then anoint the person with oil? Then, why did Apostle Paul use handkerchief to heal the people? Praise the Lord. Why didn't he just say, receive your healing in the name of Jesus? Why did he have to take handkerchief again and give them to go? Why did Jesus rise, the author and finisher of our faith, to heal a blind person, he used his saliva and made mud and placed it on the eye? Why did he have to do that? When he can say, hey, eye be open and it will open. Why did God not just forgive us our sins? Why did he have to shed blood before our sins can be forgiven? Hallelujah.
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 That is why I read this place. God told Prophet Jeremiah, go and carry your girdle and go and put it somewhere for some days so that mud and everything will turn that clean thing to very, 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 very dirty. So that it will be very, very worthless. After some time, he said, now go and remove it. He removed it. And then he said, you see, the way that cloth is, the way you see how worthless that cloth is, he said, that is how also he will turn Jerusalem into. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As that cloth that you tie around your waist, that beautifies you, that, you know, he said, now, it will be so worthless, nobody would like to take that and tie. He said, that is how I will make Jerusalem worthless. Amen. It is abomination to be associated with a prostitute. But God told his prophet, go and marry a prophet. A prostitute. And then he made sure that the prostitute gave birth to children. and each child bear a name. A name. And every name was a prophetic thing that will happen to Israel. Prophetic action. Let me read another one. Let me read another one. 2 Kings chapter 13. Second Kings chapter 13. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 14.
Verse 14.
Are we there? Now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. That is the prophet Elisha. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my master, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window. Not words. All our prophets, have you ever gone to the north for family deliverance? You're always going to the east. See, if we turn and look at the congregation here now, 90% are Igbo people. Please, if you're an Igbo man or woman, can I see your hand up? See them. See them. See them. See them. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you are from Northern Nigeria by origin, can I see your hand up? Two of us. Praise God. This is what Elisha told Joash, the king of Israel. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Eastward. Then Elisha said, What did he say? Shoot the bow and the arrow. Shoot through the window going towards the east. Okija. And he shot. And he said, The arrow, that is Elisha saying, that arrow that is going now, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, verse 18, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. That is, strike it on the ground. And the king of Israel, he smote three times, thrice, and stopped, and stayed. And the man of God was angry with him. He was wroth with him, and said, Thou shalt have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now, thou shalt smite Syria. How many times only? Thrice only. That is, each one that you hit on the ground, it is the head of Syria you are smashing. Each time they come, and now you did it only three times, you stop. Oh, you should have continued like six times. Why didn't just Elisha, a prophet of God, say, Thus said the Lord, go, and you'll be defeated. It went with an action. Listen, church. Hallelujah. When you become a Christian, you have entered a battlefield. And it is a spiritual battle. And this battle, hallelujah, Ephesians chapter 6. Can we read it? Hallelujah. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against human beings, flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It means this battle that we fight, there is a special way that battle is fought. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, if you are going to fight a battle, then the first thing is to go and know what weapons the enemies are using. Jesus Christ looked at he looked prophetically to the future of the church and looked at his children and said, the children of the world, he said, they are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom. He said they are wiser. Hallelujah. Listen. All these things that witches and wizards do. Yesterday we saw in the revelation they carry lizard, put in a small coffin as a point of contact to somebody, some member of a family somewhere, for 5 years, and for the past 5 years, the condition of this lizard in that coffin has been the condition of that man. They carry rat again and did the same thing for somebody. And all manner of things that Babala was, they do. Where did Satan and the kingdom of darkness, where did they learn that from? They learned it from a spiritual principle, a warfare tactics of God. That is what they learned. Listen, blood was involved in what brought us to the condition that we are in. That is why God used blood to deliver people who through blood reduced to what we are today. Do you know that every curse that is sent against anybody, if it is going to work, there will be the blood of an animal. Sometimes even another human being. Before that curse will work. Every babalawo has where he sheds those blood and uses it. That is why when it was time for God to redeem his people, he also used another blood. Use another blood. Prophetically, there are people here, the thing that has kept you caged, that you cannot fulfill your destiny, by a prophetic action, they have locked you somewhere with a padlock. How will you receive such deliverance? There are different ways that it can happen. I am not teaching you that this is the only way. There are different ways, and that's why we all need the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Gloire au Seigneur.
Praise the Lord.
Gloire au Seigneur.
And people, because occultic people use it, therefore they say, that is occultic, that is occultic. The occultic people do not do it in the name of Jesus. Because the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God. That is why, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee, we do our own in His name. Hallelujah. That's why, in our prayer here, yesterday, we came with padlock. And I have no apology to any blind carnal Christian that will ask me that question. My answer for you is, if you don't believe in it, don't do it. But the important thing is, make sure you receive your own deliverance. Whatever you will do. It's not compulsory. We didn't force anybody. Jesus Christ told the centurion man, as thou hast believed, so let it be according to your faith. What I am doing now is according to my faith. And it shall be to me according to my faith. So whatever you do with your faith, ensure that you receive deliverance. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Where you should quarrel with me is if I tell you to do something that is either very difficult to do before you receive that deliverance, then I will agree with you. Because salvation is simple. All these churches that say you have to do dry fasting before you can be delivered, it is contrary to the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible where anybody fasts like that before he receives deliverance. No. Hallelujah. Even when the snakes were biting them. Amen. In the book of Numbers, because they were fornicating and defiling themselves, break the edge and serpent will bite you. They were dying and Moses interceded. God told Moses the solution. Mold a serpent with brass. Put it on a pole and hang it on a pole. And tell the children of Israel, any man or woman, you commit anything and the thing bites you, if you can just come to that pole. See, he didn't say climb it. But when we say climb it, then before you climb, reach halfway, the poison has entered you, you are dead already. Amen.
Amen.
He said what? Look at me, my bride. Look to Jesus. We'll never be able to. Hallelujah. That's why I was talking to my ministers this evening. I said they should stop insisting that somebody, you cannot receive your deliverance unless you go to a village for family deliverance. I said God cannot tell a poor man that cannot afford transport money to carry people there that unless you go there before your deliverance can take place. I said, no. Our God is a merciful God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just come. Blood of Jesus Christ be for me. Then you open the padlock. As simple as that. And something will begin to happen somewhere. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your compound has been caused. They bury so many things inside there. That's why nobody's progressing. There are some people, the darkness covers you when you just enter that house, that compound, because of things that your forefathers have done there. Hallelujah. Either bring the son from that compound. It is not a doctrine, oh. It is not a doctrine, oh. Just bring that son here. Or you cannot go. They carry the son from this place that has been dedicated and consecrated, where prayers have, and everything here is anointed. Carry it and go to that place. Light versus darkness. It's a prophetic action. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.